Before I open the Word of God, could we just ask for help in prayer again? Our God and our Father, we thank Thee that we have Thy Word. We pray Thee that as we open it, that Thou wouldst just speak to us from it. And we pray Thee, our God and Father, that by the leading of Thy Spirit, we trust that there might be that which Thou wouldst want to say to us this afternoon. And so we commit it to Thee and ask Thee for Thy help. And pray Thee that above all, our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, might be honored and given that place in our hearts that He must have. We ask these things, our God and Father, praying in the worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I'd like to look at a very familiar passage, and I trust the Lord would have something for us from it, very familiar to all of us, but I believe I trust the Lord has laid on my heart some things in that passage, in that account, that He would like us to be reminded of. So could you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Just the first several verses of the chapter, which we often refer to as the Transfiguration on the Mount. Matthew 17 and verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. That's as far as we'll read. The things that I feel the Lord has to say to us, perhaps from this account, have to do with how we carry on in our assemblies locally, in each of our local assemblies, and I don't think we need to be reminded that everything is not always as it should be. And when the Lord allows difficulties, I believe it's because he has something to say to every one of us. Not just to that brother over there, or perhaps this group of people here, or part of an assembly, but to every single one of us in those assemblies. And I'd just like to say, I don't want to take too much time, I'll try to move along, but I'd just like to say that in saying these things, I am not, certainly not, pointing the finger at anyone or any assembly. The first person that I would have to point the finger at is myself, and I trust that each one of us will just take this from the Lord as the Spirit would bring it to us. In the very first verse of this chapter, and it's not my intention to try to explain this chapter in the way of bringing out every truth and the meaning and everything, but I'd like to just apply it to the assembly, as I said, and pick out a few things, point out a few things from it. The thing we notice in the first verse is that Peter and James and John were not the ones who decided to go up that mountain. It was the Lord Jesus who, it says, bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. And if you and I find ourselves, we trust, gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ at his table, it's because he has brought us to that place where he wants us to be. It's not because you or I were faithful enough or had enough knowledge or had enough common sense or whatever you want to say, or enough godliness. Not because we, of anything in ourselves, were wise enough to come to that place, but the Lord Jesus, by the working of his Spirit, has brought us to that place. So we really have nothing to be proud about, do we? We can't hold our heads up and look around at other believers and say, well, they're all in the wrong place, and thankfully I'm in the right place. I trust that the Lord Jesus, that I am where the Lord Jesus wants us to be. But let's not be proud about it, brethren. Let's realize, like the three disciples here, that it was the Lord Jesus who brought them to that mountain. And then in the second verse, we see that he was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. They saw his glory. They saw the glory of the Lord Jesus. Let's just turn over quickly to Peter, where Peter, being one of the ones who was there, he tells us about that in the epistle of Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice, to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. There's Peter's account of what happened, what took place on that mountain. Quite a different account, quite different in a certain sense to what we see actually in the next couple of verses that Peter said. But I think Peter had learned something, and I trust that we'll learn something too by the Spirit of God. But they were there and they saw the glory of God. And we have in a little measure, perhaps not very much, but we have, by the Spirit of God, seen the glory. Seen the glory of the Lord Jesus. I believe that many times on a Sunday morning, in the remembrance of the Lord Jesus, we have the opportunity to see his glory. We're there to remember him and his death, but doesn't he, as a result, don't we see his glory? We certainly see his glory when we read his precious word. So they saw, they had the chance to see his glory. But then in the third verse we see that here were two Old Testament men, Moses and Elias, who appeared there talking with the Lord Jesus. Imagine the opportunity of seeing Moses and Elias. Moses, who we read so much about, we've read so much about in the Old Testament, all that he did, all the experiences that he had. Imagine actually being on that mountain with the Lord Jesus, and the excitement, perhaps we could say, that Peter and the other two had of seeing Moses there talking to the Lord Jesus. It must have been quite exciting to Peter. So, what was the result of that? First, Peter had, and I shouldn't single out Peter and James and John, the first thing they had seen on that mountain was the glory of the Lord Jesus. Moses and Elias were brought in there too, allowed by God to appear on that mountain talking to the Lord Jesus. So in verse 4, Peter says unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Well, that sounded quite good. That sounded quite true. And in fact, it was true that it was a good thing for them to be there. But then he goes on to say, if thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And this is one of the things that's very much on my heart, one of the burdens on my heart. And I want to be careful what I say about it, but when Peter said, it is good for us to be here, and I don't want to criticize Peter, but I think we need to learn brethren, from him, from what happened here. Here he had just seen the Lord's glory. And the wonder of it. And he says, it is good for us to be here. It was good for them to be there. But why didn't Peter, and why don't we, why didn't Peter talk about the Lord's glory to the Lord Jesus? Why was his comment, it's good for us to be here? Brethren, it seems to me that we ourselves talk too much about us and here. Referring to the assembly, the local assemblies, we talk about ourselves. We even go so far as to refer to our assemblies, our meetings. We talk about us too much. And we talk about here as though there was nowhere else. Although, as though, if I could put it this way, God was not working in the same way anywhere else. I just trust, brethren, that we are exercised, that we'll be exercised, not to talk and think so much about ourselves, being, yes, we believe, gathered to the Lord's name, we trust, where the Lord wants us to be, but not to be occupied with and have the focus on ourselves being that place, but on the fact that the Lord has brought us. And when we get there, when we're here in the assembly, to see his glory. Not to be thinking about the fact that we are here, but to look at him and see his glory. And the result of, it seems to me, if I could make this application, Peter was more occupied with the three of them being there than about the Lord's glory. And the result of that was that he got so excited about Moses and Elias being there too, that he says to the Lord, let us make three tabernacles here, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. Let us make three tabernacles. Just go back to Matthew 16, the chapter before, and verse 18. Peter had just heard the Lord say to him, I will build my church. And here was Peter saying, Lord, if thou wilt, it's good to say if thou wilt, but here was Peter wanting to build three tabernacles, not one. He didn't even need to build one because the Lord was going to build his church. But even if Peter had said, let's build a tabernacle for thee, that might have been okay. But here he's building three tabernacles, one for Moses and one for Elias, besides the Lord. Brethren, let's just turn to a verse we spoke a little bit this afternoon in the reading about the power of the Spirit of God in us. In the Gospel of John, and what the Spirit of God can do and will do. And in John 16 and verse 14, the Lord Jesus himself says about the Spirit, he shall glorify me. Not glorifying or exalting any other person, but the Lord Jesus himself. There are those whom the Lord has given gifts to feed us on his word and to teach us, but we're not to be making tabernacles for them. We're not to be giving them, exalting them to a place which only the Lord can have. And I believe, beloved brethren, that there is a danger of us doing that, of allowing, and I'm not accusing the dear brothers themselves, but sometimes the way we look at a brother who has a gift and the way we treat the brother who has a gift, we're exalting them to a place that's a little bit too high. We're to recognize them, we read, for their gift. We're to value it, but not to be building a tabernacle for them along with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus in Colossians, that he might have all the preeminence. That he might have the preeminence. Not any one of us who are here, if I could put it that way, on the mountain with the Lord Jesus. He must have the preeminence. Peter said, "If thou wilt." And he very quickly found out that it was not what God would do. It was not God's will, or the will of the Lord Jesus, or the will of the Spirit of God, to do what he was suggesting. Because it says in verse 5, a bright cloud, while he yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud, which said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him, hear ye him." God would not have any glory or exaltation given to any one, any human being, that would take away from his well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the voice out of the cloud says, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And I think we do well to hear what God is saying. Sometimes out of clouds, which are allowed in our lives individually and collectively. And that voice to us is always going to be, "Look at my beloved Son and hear what he has to say, and this, what the Spirit of God has to say to us through the Word of God." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Brother Neil talked about fear, and I believe there has to be fear too, also in the assembly. A fear like we would think of meeting a bear out in the woods here at midnight. Not that kind of fear, but a fear of dishonoring the name or the person in any way of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of his saints. A fear of dishonoring him, a fear of taking away the glory that belongs only to the Lord Jesus Christ. So well might we, like the disciples here, fall on our face and be afraid of dishonoring in any way the name or the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus is so tender and gentle with them, even though Peter has spoken out wrongly, and even though they The Lord, God has allowed that voice to be heard by them. The Lord Jesus comes along and says, arise. He touches them and says, arise and be not afraid. He's longing for us if we have slipped into this way of thinking, maybe like Peter has. There's a way back. He's not going to give us up. If we come back to him, and sometimes individually and sometimes collectively, there's need for collective humbling and repentance, confessing and repentance. There's a way back. He says, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. Moses was gone out of the picture. Elias was gone. They weren't trying to exalt themselves, Peter or James or John. They saw nobody but Jesus. And that's the only way, brethren, that's the only way that we're going to be any testimony to him in this world, is if we have our eyes on Jesus only and see no other man.
109.
Jesus, that name. Thank you.
God and our Father, we thank you again for all thy love, for the privilege to have been here today under the sound of thy precious word. We look to thee that, as is said of David, that he served his own generation by the will of God and fell on sleep. Help us to discern the day in which we live, how we can be fruitful for thee in this place, how we can be fruitful and helpful with respect to our brethren, to our families, to those with whom we work and live. Help us to be like the men of Issachar that had understanding of the times. We thank thee that we have in thy word resource for every time and every occasion, every need. Just look to thee that the desire of our hearts would be to be built up in our most holy faith, that we might be here, Lord Jesus, for thy glory.
Amen.
And so we commend one another to thee, those that perhaps are already traveling, and pray for them, for our times together, having fellowship together and walking about and eating together. We ask thy blessing on these times together. We ask thy blessing upon the word that will be spoken here tonight, the gospel of the grace of God. That would be the liberty of thy spirit to take the things of Christ and put them before saint and sinner alike for the blessing of all. So we thank thee again for this time to have been together. Thank thee again for all thy love, our God and our Father, in the worthy name of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.